What's up, everybody? Noah Hiles and Andrew Destin here from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, coming to you live right after a big Pirates win on Sunday. The Bucks win 9-2, take a series tie in Philadelphia at a very tough place to play, Citizens Bank Park, against a very good team. We're going to talk about the series in general and what is to come. Before we do that, Andrew, just want to say what's up. It's been a while, buddy. How you doing? What are your thoughts on the Buccos right now?
I got a lot of thoughts on a lot of things Pittsburgh sports related, man. It's been a heck of a time watching the Pirates from afar. Obviously, the series split, a lot of milestones and things to get into there, but the Penguins land has been as mercurial as anything. I hope that that's the accurate way of describing that. So it's been a lot going on my end. It's been a lot on your end. There's just a lot going on and lots to talk about, but I'm doing well. How about you, man?
I'm good. I got my Sunday red on in honor of the Masters. Maybe watched collectively 14 holes of it throughout the whole weekend because I've been writing nonstop, but there's been a lot of stuff to write about, which we're going to get into. Before we do, we got to talk about our show's presenting sponsor, which is North Shore Tavern. If you love baseball, you'll love the North Shore Tavern. The interior is wall-to-wall Pirates. There are appetizers, entrees, cocktails, and of course, steak and seafood on a sizzling lava stone. Open every day. The North Shore Tavern is across from PNC Park, and it's Pittsburgh's home for steak on a stone. Andrew, I could use a nice night at the North Shore Tavern after covering this four-game series. It's been a crazy one. Let's get right into it. The good, the bad, the ugly. I'll let you start. What's your good from these past four games? Just one good thing you noticed you liked.
Yeah, I think the thing for me is Jack Suwinski. There's a lot of places I could go. There's a lot of places I could go. But the reason I bring him up is because we know how potent of a threat he can be in the middle of a lineup for this Pirates team. We saw it last year, what he did against right-handed pitching. And we saw it a little bit earlier in the season against a lefty in D.C. when he went long. But this has not been a great start to the season for Jack. We've talked about it in this podcast. We've written about it a little bit, how he's been in between pitches a little bit, and how it just hasn't quite been there for him. But, you know, having the big fly on Sunday against the Phils, having the series that he had, 0-for-5 in his first five plate appearances, in the series, he needs these kinds of results. Obviously, he's a streaky player, but he's also an important one because there's a lot of outfield depth there. We've talked about how Edward Olivares has done a good job in his opportunities so far. Jack Suwinski needs to avoid being that odd man out, for lack of better phrasing. And efforts like this are going to help him. So a lot of places you could go to, but Jack is one who stands out to me just given how the season has started for him, how other years like 2022, where he really fell off a cliff, last year where he had that rotten stretch in June. Like, these kinds of positive moments are essential, and especially in an early part in the season where the Pirates really need to get him going if they're going to keep having the guy like that batting, fourth in the lineup, stuff like that.
Yeah, I'll say I think that's probably the most impressive home run I've seen as far as just for the team this season, I should say. Not ever. I've seen more impressive home runs throughout the game of baseball. Yeah. But I just you look at how much that changed this game today. Zach Wheeler was dealing, Andrew. Through five innings, this guy struck out 10. Obviously, the air puts Hayes on to start the frame, and then he allows a single and a walk. But, you look at Jack coming up in that spot, and I'm not trying to talk down on Jack, but you think it's within the realm of possibility for Wheeler to get him to strike out. And then you get Suwinski to strike out, and now you have the bases loaded with one out. Zach Wheeler can dance out of that jam, or the Phillies bullpen can. Or at the very least, you can get away with maybe only surrendering one run as opposed to four. But Suwinski, in his two previous at-bats, takes a full count in both instances. First at-bat on a 3-2 pitch, makes solid contact, 95 miles an hour off the bat on a line out the center. Second at-bat, walks. So this guy's already barreled him once. He's seen two long counts. He was ready to go. And the third time through, he fouled one off. And then he got that curveball, and I mean, he thought it. He told me he didn't think it was leaving the yard. From my point of view, it was a no doubter. I mean, thing was 105 off the bat, like it flew out of that park. And I mean, that's a really tough pitcher to hit home runs off of, and that's a big spot. And the game changed there. I mean, it turned a really good outing from Wheeler into a bad one, and it flipped the game on its head. So that's a big one. And that and it's stuff like that. Sure, it's just one home run, but a home run in that spot against that pitcher and that against that team, that could be something that sparks a season for an individual. So that we'll have to keep an eye on that moving forward. My good is the starting pitching. Just another really good series. Three straight series, really, where every starting pitcher was on. I mean, you start off, Jared Jones was great on Thursday. Martin Perez was great. So was, or no, not Martin Perez. He didn't pitch, excuse me. He's tomorrow. Bailey Falter was great. How could I forget about Bailey Falter's revenge game on Friday night, Andrew? The kids will be talking about it for centuries to come. No, but he was really good, Bailey Falter, against his former team. David Bednar, again, like I'm not a starting pitcher, but that's another thing we should probably mention. And then even in the loss yesterday, I thought Marco Gonzalez was really good. And we're going to talk more about Marco here in a bit. And then Mitch Keller today, seven strong. In every instance, I think, aside from Mitch, the first three games – These guys got hit hard early in the first inning. Some of them allowed runs. Some of them just allowed some singles and danced out of the jam. But in all of the games, they figured out how to attack this Phillies lineup as the game progressed. And I'd argue that all of these starters kind of, with the exception of maybe Jones, were at their best toward the end of their outing. And I think that says a lot. You're seeing these guys being able to go into the seventh inning now, get through seventh innings. And when you're having that in April, that's a very encouraging sign. Andrew, I hinted at it a little bit. I'll let you go ahead and take it. What's your bad from this series?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's Marco Gonzalez. The left forearm muscle strain, going on the IL, prompting writer Ryan to come back up. I know you wrote about it as much, and obviously you guys listening along with this, check out our content at post-gazette.com. With Noah's write-up about this, but with Marco going on the IL, manager Derek Shelton, non-committal about whether or not they would call somebody up to fill that spot later on. Obviously, the Pirates have an off day coming up on Thursday, I believe I have that correct. I don't live in the world of days of the week. I live in the world of what game is tonight. But on that note, seriously, you know, they'll be able to skip his turn in the rotation, but what happens the next time through? Is that a Quinn Priest, or is that, you know, you're going to fill that with, you know, you're going to bullpen the game. How are you going to approach that? Regardless, this is not good for Marco Gonzalez because we know his injury history. We know how he got shut down last year at the end of May. And what was the issue? It was with his left arm. It was with the forearm, with the elbow. So this is, it's problematic. I'm not one to speculate. I'm not a doctor. However, obviously this is not an injury that you'd like to see. No, Paul Skene's not coming up. I'm sorry, Pirates fans. I know you guys would like to see him. He's probably still a few weeks out at the very least. So not good for the Pirates' rotation depth, which already was thin. Yes, it was exceeding expectations. As you mentioned, it has been pitching well. But losing Gonzalez, that's a problem.
Yeah, that's a big problem. I mean, yeah, I would argue he's probably been their best starting pitcher of the group so far. From his body of work in three starts, he's been incredibly consistent. And yeah, you don't want to speculate. Obviously, you know, you don't ever want to see anyone have a long sustained injury. So I hope it's nothing terrible. But with arm injuries, I mean, if you've been living under a rock, there's a very concerning trend going on in baseball right now, where it seems like every team has already lost a notable part of their staff due to an arm injury. The Pirates have already lost Morietta to Tommy John in spring. But this losing Gonzalez for extended time would be a tough blow because that's a guy that they brought in with the expectation that he was going to be able to help for more than three starts. So before we move on my bad, Andrew, I just want to ask, I mean, if you're Derek Shelton, what's the move here? What are you doing with that fifth spot? Are you piggybacking Ortiz and Rowanzi? Are you calling somebody up? What are you doing?
I think you piggyback for the first one. You see how that goes, and you see how Marco is doing. You're just looking to buy yourself time. And I know that's easier said than done, but you can skip one turn. The second turn, you can go to the bullpen game. Like you said, you could do an Ortiz and then Contreras, vice versa. Other guys kind of, you know, manipulate matchups that way. Personally, that's how I would do it to cover those first two starts. But, you know, it's going to be contingent on what happens with Marco. If it's longer term, you cannot start bullpenning games consistently in April. You can't do that in May. That's, I mean, this is as aggressive as I'll probably come across on this podcast, because I am so anti that at this early in a juncture. And we saw the second half of last season. Yes, the Pirates are able to have a solid second half and still be able to persevere through it. But bullpenning games, that's not a recipe for success for a team that wants to get to the playoffs this early in the year. So I think you can do it for a couple of spots, but nothing more than that. How about you?
Yeah, I think you make your mind up by how the first game goes in this upcoming series. If you have to go deep into your bullpen on Monday or even Tuesday, I don't know if I'm trying to bullpen Ortiz and Roansy Contreras on Friday. And I know that there's – it's just like if you already have the – if you set yourself up for a series of a limited bullpen early on in New York, like you don't want to continue that into the weekend as well. And also, like, why not give Quentin Priester a shot? I thought he's – I mean, he wasn't horrible in spring. I mean, a guy who was much worse than him has – made three starts for this team, and two of them have been pretty darn good starts. So, and I really liked what I saw from Priester in his first start in AAA. I saw him pitch in Louisville. The velocity is notably up, and, I mean, he's striking guys out. He's getting swing and miss, and that's important. So I would be inclined to give Quentin Priester a shot, because obviously there's another guy in that AAA rotation that once he comes up, that spot in the rotation is his forever, right? So I think you want to give a guy like Priester, who is also another important piece to this whole thing, a chance to carve his own path out in the big leagues before, you know, the big bad boy comes up and steals the show. So my bad on that note is defense. The errors, they just keep happening, Andrew. And they're happening from guys that you just wouldn't expect them. Like Cabrian had another error today. Michael A. Taylor, the communication in center field has to improve. I believe that happened on Thursday. Yes. And the following pitch was a home run from Holderman. That Holderman allowed. So stuff like that, I understand it's April baseball. You're going to get sloppy plays here and there, but it's got to stop sometime. O'Neill Cruz hasn't looked good defensively at all at shortstop. I mean, the arms look good, don't get me wrong. That's why they're able to turn so many double plays. But he's missed a lot of routine plays at short as well. And then Henry Davis had a terrible ninth inning on Saturday night, just with letting balls get past him. Looked like he was just kind of overplayed a little bit. Like he'd been playing too much baseball and needed a day off, which he got on Sunday. The defense was bad. We'll get into the ugly now. Andrew, what is your ugly?
Yeah, taking this one away from anything related to the current Pittsburgh Pirates, I'm going to take this to one of the Pirates minor league arms, and that's Anthony Solomito. As some of you may know from following along on Twitter, was out in Altoona on Friday for a rained out game, but got a chance to catch up with Solomito, who threw again on Sunday. We're recording this Sunday night, and for the second start in a row, the velocity was down. Now, it's one thing to make that comment if a guy who's in the mid-90s is throwing in the low 90s, but Solomito last year was 92 to 96, maxed out at 97, and right now is hovering in the high 80s. And, you know, I highly suggest you guys to read along to my story tomorrow, which is coming out on posthavengazette.com, but kind of detailing what's going on with Solomito, how he's trying to build up some strength in the hamstrings. He's got that unique, funky delivery, which is great for him because that's how he creates deception. That's how he baffles hitters. But on that same token, it's a little difficult to replicate the motion. And it's also not necessarily the most efficient use of the body. So there's a lot at play there. There's the, you know, he's trying to work between the slider and the changeup to make both of those consistent all the time. There's a lot going on there. He had a tremendous start to the season last year in Greensboro. Hey, I believe he did not allow a home run with the Green Jacket with the Greensboro, which is not great. Sorry, Green Jackets. I'm thinking Augusta.
The Grasshoppers.
Yeah, I'm thinking Augusta. What's wrong with me right now?
Yeah.
But right now, yeah, it's. There's a lot of concern there. It's just two starts, but Solomito is somebody that, considering how highly regarded he is as a top five prospect per MLB pipeline, this is something to monitor.
Yeah, my ugly Andrew is ugly crying, because that's what I wanted to do when I was writing my story on the family that caught Andrew McCutchen's 300th career home run ball. You know, I mean, what's the line? How can you not be romantic about baseball, right? From Moneyball. stories like this, it's worth the extra hour of work you got to put in on a travel day, because it's a cool story to tell. Just seeing, for those who haven't seen the video or read it, go to post-gazette.com, check out my story. I interviewed the father and the son that caught Kutch's 300th home run ball. Two Pirates fans. Originally, the dad is from Greensburg. He moved to the Philadelphia area where they live now. They're just sitting in left field. A ball's flying in the air. A little kid hit him on the top of the hat, right on the brim of the hat. Could have been catastrophic. But instead, it hits the brim of his hat. His dad catches it on the reflection. They find out it's Kutch's 300th home run. They said, "What do you want for it?" They just said, "We want to give him the ball." And they got to go in the clubhouse. Kutch was greeting him. It was a really, really cool thing to see unfold. It's something that, you know, as someone who grew up watching Andrew McCutchen and knows a lot of people, you know, who cherish the man, who consider him their favorite ball player of all time, there are a lot of people that I know personally would have loved to be in that situation. And you read the stories about, you know, people who would take advantage of that moment and maybe try to get some money out of it or whatever. Just purity. They just wanted to give him the ball. Kutch made sure he didn't leave empty handed, gave him a bat, signed it. Just good stuff all around. Just one of those little things that happen throughout a baseball season that remind you why you love the game. So that's all I got. Andrew, any final thoughts as we close this one out? Oh, actually, we do have one more thing. What's one big key you're looking to see for this upcoming series in Queens against the Mets?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think for me, it's what do you get from Henry Davis? And, you know, I bring that up. You obviously mentioned how the game, Saturday night, was one that gave him some problems defensively on Saturday. I just want to see them continue to balance his workload. It's been a tough task early on in the season, getting the guy some days off. And I want to see, you know, for him, matchup-wise, how does he handle, you know, going up against another tough opponent? Obviously, the Mets haven't had the greatest start, but still, that's a lineup that's got a few big boppers. Mentioned guys like a Pete Alonso, like a Brandon Nimmo, you know, could go throughout it. So with Davis, I just want to keep seeing that growth defensively, see where that goes. That's something to continue monitoring. How about you?
I want to see consistent power. Prior to Sawinski's blast, I think they had only had 3 extra base hits in the first three and a half games against the Phillies. A lot of the runs they manufactured were a product of good base running and just bad mistakes by the Phillies. And obviously, you know, they get 3 home runs in the back half of Sunday's game. I think they got a double and then the 8th inning as well. So, but I just want to see more consistent power from this lineup. Some of these guys, I think, just, you know, they're getting singles right now, but Rowdy Tellez, they didn't sign you to hit singles. Let's see you barrel up a couple more. Even guys like, you know, Kutch, again, he hit his first one. Now let's see if this can translate. Jack Sawinski, same thing. We got a little bit of that toward the end of the tail end of the Philly series. This team's not going to be able to win from good base running throughout 162 games. It won a lot of games in April last year by doing that, Andrew. But once teams are better in the field and better at holding guys on, that's not a reliable source of offense. You can't win consistently throughout 162 by playing small ball. You have to hit the ball hard. You have to hit it out of the yard or close to it. And that's what I'm looking forward to seeing if the Pirates can do moving into this 3-game set against the New York Mets. Andrew, any final thoughts now as we wrap this one up?
Wow, what a doozy of a pod, and what a doozy of a month, really, for Pittsburgh sports. My takeaway would just be that it's been a heck of a one. There's been a lot of ups and downs, but for you to be out there to catch Andrew McCutchen's number 300, couldn't be more glad for you. And really for, you know, Pirates fans who, like you said, have grew up cherishing the guy, have appreciated what he's done to the organization, to the franchise. A cool moment for him. I know that played into him coming back here, as well as coming back for this season after, you know, having the injury plagued one last year. So give him his flowers. He's earned this moment in the sun, even if he doesn't necessarily want it. But cool for Andrew McCutchen, and good for the Pirates to split the series. How about you?
Same thing. I mean, I think that this was this is an impressive series. I know they only got 2 wins, but, I mean, they hung around with a really good team. Their starting pitching held its own against a loaded lineup. David Bednar responded, I think you checked a lot of boxes in Philadelphia if you're the Pittsburgh Pirates. So that's all I got. That's all he's got. You can read our work at post-gazette.com. He's Andrew Dustin. I'm Noah Hiles. Thank you for tuning in to our show. As always, hit that subscribe button if you haven't already, and we will have more content for you on the Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and podcast network. Take care.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.